Yeah, like a duck on water, I guess. Pretty relaxed on the outside, but there's been a little bit of stress around, I'm not going to lie. Driving a Formula One car on ultimate weekends with LMP1 is tricky. There's no denying that. But yeah, I'm happy with how I've handled it and how it's all gone, and just so stoked that it's continuing.
Brendan, I mentioned in my show to open this afternoon, I don't think Kiwi sports fans, I'm saying some Kiwi sports fans, get the magnitude of this achievement. I never imagined in my lifetime, Brendan, I would be talking to a New Zealander that is going to be a permanent drive, a permanent fixture in Formula One. What this does for New Zealand motorsport, I don't even think you can calculate. It is massive.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, it still hasn't fully sunk in, and I know that's cliche, and I know that's what everyone says, but in this case, I mean, it's just been from one race weekend to race weekend. I haven't been able to reflect because I've just need to be, you know, I've always got another task to be focused on. But hearing it said out loud by the likes of yourself, saying, you know, Formula One driver 2018, it feels amazing to hear that. It's surreal. And I just can't wait to come back home and reflect on it all and start working towards next year. I mean, it's an absolute dream scenario for me to have a few Grand Prix under my belt going into a new season. I've got pre-season testing to get organised now. I mean, the timing couldn't be better. I mean, it's a bit of a fairy tale story, really. I mean, no one expected it a few months ago, including me, and now it's happened. It's happening.
Brendan Hartley, confirmation he will drive a permanent drive in Formula One 2018. Just brilliant. Brendan, you've had to play a wee game of cat and mouse with us in the media because, as I said, we've been incredibly excited about the potential of this full-time drive. When did you find out, when were you given a heads up that this drive would happen? Because Franz Tost, your team principal, had come out a couple of weeks ago and said, basically, to the world, to Formula One, you were his guy for next year.
Around that time, mate. I mean, obviously going into Austin, I still had to get the job done. But in the last couple of weeks, I was pretty confident it was all going to be okay. Which didn't mean I was. I mean, I guess it helped me be relaxed going into the last couple of races. Unfortunately, we had the engine failures, but yeah, there's still been a lot to prove from my side. They took a massive risk on me, and actually they believed in me, to be honest with you. So pretty early on, and what I did in that first race. So I've had great support from their side, but now the big task is ahead, and I'm well aware of that. You know, I've still got a lot to learn. I've still got a lot to work on. It's not going to get easier. It's not going to get easier.
How much easier did it make it for you, knowing that despite what happened in Brazil, the frustrations in Mexico with the engine blowing out, that you knew that wasn't crucial for your chances of driving next year? I guess what I'm saying, you had surety that your role was beyond what was playing out in these races. It wasn't as if this was a trial. If you stuff this up, you're gone.
Yeah, I mean, Austin, obviously, I still did have to get the job done, and I think, you know, around Mexico time, it started to become a reality that it might continue for next year. And I mean, I tried to take the pressure off myself in these scenarios. Anyone who's been in sport or even everyday life, you know, they'll understand that when you want it so much yourself, most of the pressure comes from within. And that's something I've learned to manage over the last years. And I really did try to take the pressure off and try to enjoy it. I did that from the word go. That's what I did.
Brendan, I get you're a humble Kiwi lad here, but everything we are hearing out of Formula One, out of Toro Rosso, your team, is you bring a lot more than just pace in that car. Your ability with the Honda engine next year to be able to give important feedback back to the team engineers. Has that been a major factor beyond your driving skills in terms of getting you this deal?
Yeah, I like to think I'm a pretty quick driver too, just quietly. We're trying to stay humble about it, but... obviously, I come with a lot of experience. I know not experience in Formula One, but what I have been competing in the likes of, with Porsche and LMP1, it's also very complicated. It's a similar number of people. You have to work very close with engineering staff to develop a car. So I come with some experience from that side. And also, I've remained a part of the Red Bull family. You know, they gave me the opportunity all those years ago. I guess it's more than 12 years ago now, when they picked me up and brought me to Europe as a development Formula One driver. So, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I was still developing Formula One cars and simulation. So I do have some experience behind me. I think I've analysed results in the last years and I've developed and grown a lot. And I mean, the thing is, the question you've asked me, you probably didn't ask them why they've taken me. It's always hard to talk about yourself, but yeah, I'm so excited about it, and I'm going to keep working hard, and I am genuinely humble, and I know that I've got a lot of work to do, so I'm really not taking it lightly at all.
Brendan, clearly the release so far says it is a one-year deal for 2018. We're hearing all sorts of speculation that may be a two-year bump on that as well in terms of an extension if things go well for you. Brendan, obviously the release says it is for 2018, a one-year deal, but we're hearing all sorts of rumours that may extend to another 2 years if things go right for both parties here. Can we lock down? Can you tell us exactly what the duration of the deal is?
It all really hinges on how I keep developing in the Formula One car. I mean, obviously I've got 4 races under my belt now, but it's next year will be the next step to secure my long term future. Obviously I'm getting a bit older, so you know it can't be as long term as maybe some of the young boys. But I mean, my dream and goal now is to remain in Formula One and keep working my way up the ranks. So to do that, I need to do a good job next year, and that's really what it's going to come down to.
So just to clarify this, Brendan, have they said to you, look, if things go well, if we're happy with your performances, yes, we will extend beyond 2018?
Oh, I think in any form of racing or any sport, if you do a good job, they're obviously going to want to keep you on and stay within Formula One. So yeah, that's pretty clear, I would have thought. It's not like you've got 2018 and then let's try and help you do a good job so it can continue. That's the plan.
Brendan,
not like
look,
I'm filling in for a year for someone else. The plan is to do a good job and continue.
Brendan Hartley with us. Toro Rosso confirmed 2018 full-time drive in Formula One. Brendan, I know these are always niggly questions we in the media like to know in terms of money, but I'm just wondering here, how big is this deal for you? I imagine you would have driven Formula One for free, but is this deal for you life-changing?
I think the last 5 years have been life-changing. Getting my first real professional job with Porsche has been life-changing. And this is, you know, this is a continuation of that. I mean, yeah, yes, I get paid to be a Formula One driver. I mean, that's the dream.
The other aspect to this as well, Brendan, is the deal, the contract you have with Chip Ganassi to drive IndyCars with Scotty Dixon next year, and also your relationship with Porsche, which will continue, by the way. It seems like both those parties have been very amenable to you realising your boyhood dream, which, of course, is F1.
Yeah, there's obviously been a bit going on behind the scenes, and it's obviously always complicated to get a new contract sorted, but I can't really discuss too much more on that, which I guess you understand. But in the end, I'm just happy that it's happening. I'm happy that I didn't do anything too stupid and worked, you know, and took it step by step in the first few rounds. And yeah, anyway, but very soon my focus will be on this weekend, which is the last round of Porsche RP1, which is going to be very emotional. It's the end of an era for me and Porsche and for everyone involved. It's been a huge effort from a lot of people, and we're backsides off to get it, the one last final win, but it's going to be emotional come tomorrow. And then for us, enough of that, the focus will move to Abu Dhabi. But yeah, I'm enjoying the ride at the moment. It's all still pretty surreal. I'm fueling on adrenaline and Red Bull a little bit. I think when I come home at the end of the year, it'll be easier to reflect and probably answer some of these questions a bit better than I am now.
Couple of things here to wrap Brendan Hartley. Let's look at the Honda engine, which we know has not exactly performed in 2017. You guys get on board next year. There are some good signs, though, coming out from that manufacturer. They believe they are improving, and by next year it'll be a different ball game. What are you hearing as far as the relationship between Toro Rosso and Honda next year?
Everyone's really positive. It's quite a unique and good opportunity. It's an amazing opportunity for the team to be solely supplied by an engine manufacturer. They're really positive. There's a lot of positive talk coming out of the whole thing, and Yeah. Also, equally a big opportunity for me to be involved.
Also, is this a significant shift in Formula One? We tend to believe that unless you have cash and lots of it, you don't secure a drive in Formula One. Now, you've got there, of course, on talent, as we mentioned before, about your ability to read what is happening with the car as well. So, is this potentially a marker in the sand, a change for Formula One?
There's always been talk, and a lot of people always complain that it's only drivers paying their way into Formula One, and it's not true. I mean, I had an opportunity those 8 or 9 years ago to be in Formula One, and there's been the majority of the drivers are on the grid for, you know, on credit, you know, that, and those, you can't just buy your way to get a Formula One seat, and even in terms of the rules to get a super license, you have to win X amount of races and certain championships to even be qualified for a super license. So it's kind of a bit of a myth that everyone's bought their way in. I can assure you that the level is extremely high. To answer your question, they have actually changed some of the rules in terms of getting a super license, which they've made it a lot harder for people to be qualified. So I guess from that point of view, there has been a bit of a shift. And I was obviously very lucky that the championship in LMP1 is rated so highly. And winning the 2015 World Championship secured me enough super license points to get a super license for Formula One. So, yeah, I guess they have made it harder from some respects, yeah.